You read it? Whole song said, "Our Father, we ask in the name of Jesus, insight and revelation into your word. Our hearts are open. We receive clarity of explanation, precision of information. There is no contradiction. There is no error. All our hearts unitedly see Jesus, your Son, as he sees us in him. He is glorified. We are edified." Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. John 14. John's Gospel 14, Jesus in verse 16 says, "And I pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." Who likes the word forever? You know? Say forever. That's to be eternal, right? So say eternal is not forever. You know? Then he says in verse 17, "Even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive, because he sees him nor neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you." So Jesus says all the truths of redemption are spiritual. The truth of redemption can't be captured in a movie. You can only get an eyewitness account. You cannot act out what Christ did. You can only act out what men saw. You can never put in a drama what God saw. Remember, you know, this, we do drama and do drama about rapture. You know, drama. I used to act drama about rapture, and all the dramas, I used to miss the rapture. And when we are done, they will now stretch their hands towards me. "Father, we pray that everything we have acted should not come to pass in our life." Who sent you to act it first? "Father, we pray that it should not happen to us." I'm always missing the rapture. The time they gave me a part that won't miss the rapture, I didn't act it well. They say, "I know you can go and do your normal role." Everybody will be going. I know how to say, "Where are they?" I know that thing very well. "Where are they? Ha! Where's bro? Where?" I know that part very well. But I don't know how to act to go. So pray for me, alright? All the truths about redemption and what Christ did are spiritual. That's why after he convinced his disciples by his physical appearances in Luke's Gospel 24 verse 37, he now showed them from the prophecies. Because the prophecies were statements of the Spirit. He now showed them by revelation. It was upon that, because if he only showed them his physical body, then what gospel would we be preaching today? We would definitely not preach the word of faith. It wouldn't be the word of faith. We'll have to carry pictures all over the place. He's somewhere. Where is he? He's somewhere, but he's alive. He's somewhere. Where is he? He's alive. He showed them from the scriptures. So the information, wait, the act is spiritual. The information, therefore, is spiritual in nature. You do not consider this information the way you consider, for example, your laboratory test. You know, your laboratory test, you go, you take in the sample, you put it in there, you mix something, and then you get the result. Say, "Wow, this is it," and they prove it. For example, someone says, "This food is sweet." You say, "Bring it. The taste of the food is in the eating." They say, "It's very sweet." I remember I went to do follow-up in 1994, I believe. And I went this, and the man who trained us then to do follow-up, Pastor Shola Oladele now, he said that you must always wear a smile. If you do follow-up, don't frown. Even if you had a bad day, don't frown. So we all were trained to be doing like this, like you're taking pictures. Uncle, I didn't mean any bad. I just wanted to say this. So I went to that person's house and he made food. And the food was, I remember it was a goosey soup. And I could see the seeds. So I began to eat it. He said, "How is this, sir?" I said, "It's okay. It's very okay." "So are you sure?" "Why are you asking me?"
But he noticed I was just drinking water.
Can I just have Coke? You know, to quell it. You drink any deadly thing shall not hurt you.
So you taste natural things like that. But spiritual things are not like that. They're not like that. They're not like something you use your physical senses to examine. No. Your physical senses should be secondary, not primary. And so Jesus says, look at this now. He says in verse 20, John 14, in that day you will know, and that's the word ginosko. You will learn progressively that I am in the Father. That means you will know truth progressively. I am in my Father. I am in you. Verse 20. And you're also in me. You are in me, pardon me, and I am also in you. That's why Paul, in 2 Corinthians 5:16, this is why the Pauline epistles doesn't sit well with many historians. What he taught seemed to be at variance with historical facts. Because historical facts will always have different versions of what people saw and heard. But Paul, in his letters, stayed much more strictly with the Spirit's witness. And that's why he says in 2 Corinthians 5:16, he says, wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Know we no man after the flesh. Then he says, now there's a way he uses words here that I want you to look at very well. He says, though we have known Christ after the flesh. The word know there is the word ehido. To perceive and to appreciate an information. That is, they gave a secondary information. It's like a second time out. So, though we have appreciated Christ after the flesh. We were told. You know, in his letter, for example, in 1 Corinthians 11, when he talked about the Passover, he says, I've received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you. That the Lord Jesus Christ in the night in which he was taken. Now, that's no revelation. That's an historical fact. People on the table were able to document what happened. But the truth about what Jesus did was not in the story. The truth about what he was doing was found in the Spirit. So, it's interesting today that we have followed the story today in many places, the body of Christ, but the truth about what he did, many don't know. They follow the story. They have bread and wine service. They call it communion service. They have people eat. They you know. I remember back then, it's no longer like that today. But when they do communion service back then, there will be a sermon before it that will reduce the number of people that will come for it. I remember I was going to service one time, and I asked the brother, I said, what's going on? Why are you going to say it's communion service? That he was going because it's communion service. I said, you know, you have to check your life. A bread prepared by a Muslim, maybe. Wine you bought on the road. Those who prepared it were not Christians. But the Christians are afraid to eat it. Fear is a bastard. You just become stupid. Why would you? I say, well, you know, because it's the body of the Lord. That bread is the body of the Lord. At what point did it become the body of the Lord? In the flour stage? In the bakery? Because I've worked in a bakery before. In the nylon? Or in the shop? Or in the church? You need to find out at what point? When it is blessed. Okay, when, as soon as I put my hands in, so I lay my hands on the bread and say, you, from now henceforth, you disagree bread, you have become the body of Jesus Christ. Okay. Someone made a very funny joke. He said, a child asked the question, we have been eating the body of Jesus for long. When are we going to finish it? Verse 16. I didn't say it. The child said it. So we have known Christ of the flesh. He said, henceforth, He now says, knowing him no more. He changes the term to ginosko. The very word Jesus used earlier in John 14, 20. Now, our knowledge of Christ is supernatural. Our knowledge of Christ is now supernatural. We have known Christ after the flesh. But we don't know him that way anymore. Why? Because earlier on in chapter 3, he says in 17, watch this. Now the Lord is that Spirit. Hallelujah. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. The Lord is that Spirit. Say, the Lord is that Spirit. He's that Spirit. In Romans 8, 9, he calls it the Spirit of Christ. In verse 10, it says, if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. The Spirit is life because of righteousness. Hallelujah. He says, the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. What do you mean by liberty? Verse 18. Well, we all, with open face, behold us in a glass. You know, why did he say liberty here? Because he is referring to the law before now. So he says, therefore, we all, with open face, pay attention here now, beholding us in a glass, that's a figure of speech, the glory of the Lord. The glory of the Lord. The glory of the Lord. You know, he had talked about two glories. The glory of the old covenant, which he says is done away with in verse 7. He says he's abolished. Again, in verse 13. He says, so, we are with open face. As like a glass. We behold the glory of the Lord. That is a new covenant. Which he says earlier in verse 4 and 3 and 4 and verse 5 to 6 and 7 is the Spirit. He says, we behold as in a glass the glory of the Lord. Then he says, we are changed into the same image. The same image. Not a gradual thing. He didn't say we are being changed. He says we are changed. Now, because we have the word metamorpho, many people assume it is the same word metamorphosis because they sound alike. No. They have similarities, but they are not the same. The word metamorpho here is two words. Is the word meta, which means to change to. Then the word morpho is a state. So it does, nothing here suggests what is gradual. It means a change of status. So we are not changed. All the time we see glory to glory or faith to faith. Don't think it's, you know, don't add the third faith to it. He just said faith to faith. You say faith to faith. If you wanted it to be continuous faith, you say faith to faith and faith and faith and faith. Faith to faith. Glory to glory. You must find out which faith and which faith. Which glory and which glory. Who's following what I'm saying this morning? So in this instance, when he says from glory to glory, go back to the text and see he talked about the glory that had been done away with. That is, we are taken from the old covenant to the work of the Spirit. So the word metamorpho there is meta, to be changed or turned around to another state. And you see, a similarity or the same word was used in Matthew 17 and Luke 9:2, where you have Matthew 17, verse 2. He says here, Jesus went to the high mountain. Then in verse 2 says, he was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as a sun.
and his raiment was white as the light. Was it a continual thing? Transfigured. That means what they saw as they went to the mountain wasn't what they saw on the mountain. And what was Paul saying in 2 Corinthians 3? He says the veil is taken away. So the moment the veil, since the veil is not taken away gradually, the change cannot be gradual. As the veil is taken away, the man is changed. So we are changed. We are transfigured. Our state has changed. Now, in Romans 12:2, Paul uses the same word. You need to follow this again. In verse 1, he says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves, your bodies, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable worship. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, notice what he didn't say. He used renewing, and he says transform. Renewing means to adjust, to make a new mindset. But transformed is not progressive. It's not progressive. We've always used transform for renewing. No. Transform means to change your state. To have a new status. Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. So we are not changed from glory to glory to glory. We used to sing that song back then in our fellowship meetings. In your presence is everlasting joy. In your presence our strength is being renewed. From glory to glory we are changed. As we look upon your mind. Look upon. People like that. As we look upon your mind. And we're not even thinking. We are changed. You know, it's, you like to sing songs like that. But that's not what he was saying. Because chapter 4 brings the reality to you. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, verse 1, we do have received mercy. We faint not. We have renounced this, in things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth. That is what phanerousis, to make naked the truth, which is once and for all. Commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. For the gospel be hid, is it to them that are lost. In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God. Are you there? Shall shine unto them. Who is the image? He has said earlier in verse 18, we are changed to that image. Which is a new birth. So this is the image of God. We preach not ourselves, verse 5, but Jesus Christ the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Christ's sake. Can we take verse 6 together? For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts. How many times? Once. To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Verse 7, let's go together. We have this treasure. Say we have this treasure. So it's not a gradual progression. Is an instant occurrence. We are being changed. We have this treasure. Hallelujah. We are changed in that image of Christ. The image of God. So it's not glory to glory to glory to glory. No. We are in the glory now. Hallelujah. So these truths are spiritual. This glory is not in a suit. It's not in a car. Is not in fine music. No. This glory is spiritual. This glory is in the spirit. We're dealing with spiritual realities in here. Watch this now. So he mentions Christ. He says he has shined in our hearts. Look at what he calls Christ here. He calls him the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit. He calls him the light. He calls him the image of God. In chapter 3. Chapter 4. That's what he's calling Christ. He calls the power of God in our hearts. In chapter 4.
So by the time you got to chapter 5, in verse 5, he says, now, this is Paul, he that wrought for us, the same self spirit, same thing is God, who also had given us the earnest, the guarantee of the spirit. Now, go to 16. Wherefore, or henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Though we have known Christ after the flesh, henceforth know we him no more. Now, pay attention here. If you had read 3 and 4, you notice that he moved from the humanity of Jesus. He moved from there. And he now gave us the spiritual reality of Christ today. Then he says, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Because we are changed into that glory, which he mentioned earlier. And because God has shined in our heart, the very light that shone at the resurrection. Because we have this treasure in earthen vessels. He says, therefore, if any man be in Christ. He's not talking about change of behavior. Is this very clear? If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Can you see the things that passed away now? Can you see it now? That glory that is done away with. All things have become new. All things. The word become there means to exist as new. What exists as new? He calls it the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. He says we are changed into this image. He says we have this treasure. So all these things, they are new. They are in the new covenant. Then he says, all things are of God. Hallelujah. All these things are of God. The things he had described from chapter 3 to chapter 4 to chapter 5. Which he says, he gave us the earnest of those things by the Spirit. That those things are found where? They are found where? In the Spirit. They are not found in the kind of houses that we live in. They are not found in the kind of places that we dwell in. They are not found in the kind of clothes that we wear. They are not found in the kind of degrees that we acquire. They are found in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Are you still there? All things, Paul says, they have become new. So these are spiritual realities. In chapter 13. And verse 14. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, he must have. And this is the danger of verses. He had expected you had read everything he has been saying. So he put all he had said. From chapter 1 to chapter 2 to 3 to 4 to 5 to 6 to 7 to 8 to 9, 10, 11, 12. Everything that is found in Christ, which by the virtue of 2 Corinthians 3:18 is now found in the believer, then he says the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the summary. It's not a prayer. It's the summary of the letter. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the love of God, then he calls it the fellowship. Remember the word fellowship? The contribution or the giving or the sharing of the Holy Ghost is with us. Hallelujah. A reminder. A pronouncement. A re-emphasis. So, now that we have the precious gift of redemption, the precious gift of the resurrection, he has given to us the Spirit. You can say he has shared it. He has fellowshiped us, the Spirit. We now are partners. We are now partners. Look at Luke's Gospel, chapter 5. Let me show you what that means. Luke's Gospel, chapter 5. Where you have the word koinonios. Luke's Gospel, chapter 5. Verse 7. Remember, Jesus told Peter to cast his net to his side, and then he caught a great multitude of fish in verse 6, and the net broke. Then verse 7 says, and they beckoned unto their partners. What do you mean partners? Those who do the same things. Those who do, that is, they have a common profession. Partners. This word is the same word for fellowship. So, as God has given to us, the Spirit of God is common to the believer, to believers. So, we are partners. That is, we walk in the same field. We have the same capacity. And we have the same abilities. Just like yesterday, we looked at the word inheritance. I believe it was yesterday. The word inheritance. Where we said there's an inheritance and there's the heir. The way we say heir today, heir is somebody who will take over. That's not the word heir. The word heir is somebody who has an inheritance. An inheritance is what was apportioned to you. So an heir is not a futuristic term. An heir is a present term. Remember, in Hebrews 1 and 1, it says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spoken in past the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us in his Son. He says, whom he had appointed heir. That is, he owns all things. Which things? The things are the prophecies. He says he owns the prophecies. So that means the prophecies about the death and burial of the Christ, they belong to Jesus. So an heir will not take over. An heir has it. Say, I have it now. So if it's called inheritance, it means it is yours now. So he calls the Spirit the proof of that inheritance. So an heir is not a futuristic term. An heir is one who owns it now. Is in possession of it now. Say, I have it now. Oh, come on, say like you mean it. I have it now. So an heir has it now. An heir is a possessor of what was given to him. We are partners now. We are fellows now. We have the part, we have the lot now. Are you still there? Look at Galatians 4. Glory to God. Galatians 4. Verse 4. But when the fullness of time was come, you know, because a good number of people, you know, when they read about this, I just want to mention this. This is vital. Go to chapter 3. You hear, and if you be Christ's seed, Christ, you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And people read this verse so that they can go and possess gold mines in Israel. Because you cannot read this verse in isolation of the discussion. You don't link this one to Genesis 13, 1 and 2. Abraham, my master Abraham is very rich in cattle and gold. Then you come here. That's wicked reading of the Bible. Even Abraham's children did not inherit his wealth. His physical children. See how many years you are down the line. His son, Isaac, had to work. He had to labor. He had to work.
his grandson Jacob had to work. Down the line, his great-grandchildren had to be slaves in Egypt. So take your eyes off those kind of things. He was very clear in what he was saying here. Because in chapter 3 and verse 13, he says, he had mentioned earlier in verse 8, God will justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel of Abraham, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Then he says in verse 13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it's written, curse everyone that hangeth on the tree. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of what? He had told you what the promise was. The promise of the Spirit through faith, not things. So in chapter 3 verse 29, if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. That is, the promise of the Spirit has made you an heir. You are an heir. So chapter 4, verse 4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent for his son, made of a woman, made under the law, that to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive, is it clear now? The adoption of sons. Look at 6. Because you are sons, God sent forth the spirit of his son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. Can we take verse 7 together? Therefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. So the inheritance is the promised spirit. The inheritance here is a promised spirit. So what we receive with the gospel are not things. Physical things, I mean. They are spiritual realities. Spiritual realities. Hallelujah. Realities. In Ephesians chapter 1, Paul called them spiritual blessings or blessing of the Spirit. Ephesians 1. Who has blessed us, he says about God, with every spiritual blessing, all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, he says in Christ. He says, who have chosen us. Now look at how Paul puts it. This is key. He says, he has chosen us in him. Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blame without blame before him in love. Say, I am holy and without blame in love. Look at verse 5. Having predestinated us to the adoption of children, that's the word holy, or sons, by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Say, I am a son. I have the spirit of adoption. Verse 6 says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he had accepted us in the beloved. Say, I'm accepted in the beloved. These are the realities. Now listen carefully. He's about to wrap it up in a very interesting way. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Notice what we have. It's in our hold now. Is in our possession now, in whom we have. Now, imagine if I do this, you come. Okay, you come. He wants to come. He got up so quickly. What does he have? He has the Bible, right? What does he have? Come on. Okay, come up here so that he will see you. And on TV. What does he have? He has the Bible. It's with him. In whom we have. He has it. That means I gave him. And he has it now. If he talks to me to give him, I will consider it a joke. Not because I'm just being flimsy. He has it. And he said, you will know, then you will have it. He said, we have. So,
He has the forgiveness of sins. He has it. He has it. He has it. He has it. According to the riches of his grace, I have given it. He has it. I gave it to the whole world. But the moment he believed the gospel, he has it. He might not know it, but he has it. He just has to open what he has to find forgiveness there also. Some guys have never opened the wrapper before. I thank the Lord. I thank the Lord for what? I just thank the Lord. For I am thanking the Lord for what? I thank the Lord. He's a gracious God. He's a good God. Good about what? He's just good. He's a good God. I thank the Lord. I thank the Lord. What is it? What he gave you? I don't know. He has it. So it will be pure ignorance. And sometimes unbelief to want to have what you have. Thank you. Hallelujah. In whom we have, we already have it. The reason why you are looking for it is because you have not looked in him. We have it. Are you still there? Glory to God. Verse 8. Wherein he had abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence. Say, God has made known unto me. He has made available to me. Wisdom and prudence. Have made known unto us, he says, the mystery of his will. Now he's explaining. According to his good pleasure, which he had proposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, which are in heaven, which are on earth, in him. He told you what that was in chapter 3 already. The family in heaven and earth. Then he says here in verse 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. They have obtained an inheritance. Being predestinated according to the purpose of him that worketh all things. What things? The things he was saying earlier. According to the purpose of his will. Say, I've obtained the inheritance. That we should be to the praise of his glory. Who first trusted in Christ. In whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth. The gospel of your salvation. Watch this now. It's telling you how all this happened. In whom also after you believed. You were sealed with that Holy Spirit. Paul uses the word phragizo in the Greek, which means a proof of performance. Phragizo is a proof of performance. How you know it has been done. Look at the seal. So everything he mentions here, how you know it's been done. Look at the Spirit. The indwelling of the Spirit is a proof that we have forgiveness of sins. It is the seal of promise of the Holy Spirit. Seal, the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest. Use the word Araborn. Earnest is value. Value. Some call it a pledge, but stronger than that. A guarantee. A guarantee of our inheritance. A guarantee that we have it. Can you see that? Everything Paul mentioned from verse 4 down to verse 10 and 11 is in the Spirit. The proof of it is the Spirit. So don't say, one of the many benefits that we have in Christ, we have glory, we have power, we have the Spirit. No, you are wrong. The Spirit is the proof, the evidence of performance. I love the old song.
Some guys don't like the intro. I love the man of Galilee, for he has done so very much for me. He has forgiven me all my sins and sent the Holy Ghost to me. I love the man of Galilee. So he proves that forgiveness by giving me the Holy Ghost. The proof of the forgiveness of sins is the indwelling of the Spirit. So forgiveness is not a feeling. It's not a feeling. So stop feeling. Start knowing. You know, Peter says something similar in Acts 5:32. Turn there quickly, just a reference for that. Acts 5:32. He says, in verse 31, him hath God exalted with his right hand, a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are the witness of those things also, the Holy Ghost, whom God had given to them that obey him. Can you see? To show he had given forgiveness, he gave the Holy Ghost. So, the Spirit is the proof of performance. The Spirit within us is the proof of performance. So you can only see these things by revelation. Not by feelings. You don't contact these truths by feelings. Rather, you affect your feelings with these truths. You don't contact them. Through feelings. Was it Solomon that said the deep calls on the deep? Spiritual things are known spiritually. Not by feelings. So God, when Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1:9, he has called us to fellowship of his Son. You can say, he has called us to supernatural living. Hallelujah. So he has called me to supernatural living. Because all he has done, the proof of it, is supernatural. He has called us to supernatural living. So the Christian life is supernatural. Say, my life is supernatural. Say, the Christian walk is supernatural. See how Paul taught us conduct. He didn't say, you know what? Strive to love your neighbor. He says, walk in the Spirit. It's supernatural. It's supernatural. So the proof of performance, the seal, is the Spirit within us. Follow this one now. In 1 Corinthians 2, here's Paul. He says in verse 9, what is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them, hallelujah, unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God, Paul says. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the Spirit of man which is in him? Even so, come on. Read that back, come on. Knows no man. They are not gotten naturally. You don't know this because you are naturally intelligent. Then it says, now. Oh, hallelujah. Is a shouting verse. This is a shouting verse. Now we have received. Not the spirit which is of this world. Why did he say that? Because he had talked about the princes of this world. He had talked about the wisdom of this world. Research. Intelligence. Those who are intellectuals.
He said, to them, these truths are foolishness. To them, it doesn't make any sense. He says, to the Greeks, it's foolishness. To the Jews, it's a stumbling block. But to us, it's the power of God. So, our start in this walk, we started in what a natural man will call foolish. We don't want to be intelligent again. Did you get what I'm saying? How we started was senseless. You believed a man you never saw. You believed a story you did not confirm. Did you travel to Israel to confirm Jesus? Did you go anywhere? Let me go and do my research. I want to preach you which Bible. Who put it together? Do you know them? Are you not a Nigerian? They're just giving you one white Jesus like that. Do you know whether it's black? No. We started out foolishly. In the natural. That's how we started out. We believed. Hallelujah. To the intelligent man, that is foolishness. And Paul says, the foolishness of God is wiser than men. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. The foolishness of God is wiser than men. So he says, these things know no man but the Spirit of God. Now, verse 12. Are you there? We have received not the Spirit of this world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. You can't. Hallelujah. You can't know this by human intelligence. You contact this. No wonder Paul said, everything I was, I counted it dung. They don't meet. They don't have a meeting point. Human discovery is not revelation. Human research is not revelation. Revelation is a search in God. It's not a search in nature. It's not a search in grammar. It's not a search in history. It's a discovery in God. Watch this now. Which things, verse 13, Paul says, also we speak, not in the words, which man's wisdom teaches. That means it will not blend. I said it will not blend. It's such a shame to bring worldly motivation to the churches. It's such a shame. We want to give examples. We mention the unsaved with ease. What a shame. He says, these words are not in the words which man's wisdom teaches. Don't reduce these truths to science. Don't reduce them to medical science. Don't reduce them to political science. Don't reduce them to commerce. Don't reduce them to IT. Don't reduce them to artificial intelligence. These truths have outlived all these things. Paul told us they were in God before the foundation of the world. These are not truths. Because natural science, he will do everything. They are searching inside man, finding out, you know, trying to cure diseases, and they are doing a good job. But that's how they can go far. They still cannot explain where life came from. They've done their best. Scientists came out and said that we found out that there's a subconscious mind. There's a mind. They can't explain emotions. You don't capture emotions in a machine. Just a machine. I see love. They keep dealing with facts. We deal with the truth. Hallelujah. Say, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches. So there are words we are going to say that will not be sensible. There are things you are going to say that won't make sense. They are not supposed to make sense.
Hallelujah. Remember one guy was trying to argue against speaking in tongues. Then he said, how can you just be saying something that is not, doesn't make sense? And I said, come. You have heard those arguments over the years. I said, come. 1 Corinthians 14:2. What does he say? He that speaks in tongues speaks not unto men but unto God. And I asked him a question. Do you know who God is? I do. Does he know all things? He said, yes. Does he understand anything? He said, yes. So what is your problem? Does God also get confused with that rubbish? No, God can never be confused with anything anybody says. Thank you. Sit down. Hallelujah. Are you following what we're saying here? That is foolishness to you. Doesn't mean it's foolishness to God. In that language is the wisdom of God. Hallelujah. Never let intellectualism reduce the potency of spiritual realities in your life. Don't overread. Stay with the truth. Sometimes overreading, you want to read this one, read that one, read this one, read that one. Someone say, I want to read how the Bible was put together. They will put you together in one place. I'm a faith man. I'm a faith man. Hallelujah. We've begun in the spirit. We are not to be perfected by the flesh. Hallelujah. Are you still there? Follow this one now. He says, which the Holy Ghost teacheth. Now follow this one now. Comparing what? Comparing what? Spiritual things with the spiritual. Comparing. Communicating spiritual realities to the men that have re- now the spiritual there is the man that has received the spirit in verse 12, right? So the information we know is identical to who we are. Both our identity and our story and our facts are spiritual in nature. We don't reduce them to natural truths. We don't reduce them to natural truths. They are spiritual realities. So he calls them spiritual. You have received. Say, I am spiritual. Say, I am spiritual. Back then you say, that brother is spiritual. Say, spirit. They used to call me spirit, spirit. So I gave them kana, kana. So they stopped calling me that. Spirit, spirit. And kana, kana. So you call him now to your birthday. Rather than just cut cake, he'll be flowing the Holy Ghost. Spirit, spirit. Someone said that to me in the birthday. I was in university. He said, you know, when we call them now, he thought by saying it, I would be discouraged. Then when we call them now, it's Holy Ghost. They'll flow with Holy Ghost. And all that. They just have a brochure to come and share with us. I just got there. And I said, well, thank you for the introduction. Just like you said. Things like that don't deter me. But when you say it, that's when I'm going to do it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Because we can't afford to be led by the senses. Hallelujah. Still there? He says, but the natural man, that's not you. That is the man who is without the Spirit, receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, because they are by faith. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual. Oh, say, I am spiritual.
I am spiritual.
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 Say, I am spiritual. Say, I am spiritual.
I
am not natural. I'm not a natural man. I'm a spiritual man. I'm not a natural man. I'm a spiritual man. Have your seat. He that is spiritual judges all things. Yet
That is, he discerns all these things, yet no natural man can discern him. Did you get that? He himself, that means he's invincible to the natural man. We cannot be explained by science. We cannot be explained by human history. No, we can't. The real churches. So say the real churches. It's not a Christian, no. The real churches. You see them. They give us scholarship. They make bowl. It's not just the Bible. You are the Bible people are reading. So say our church, we are influencing the world. Even Muslims enjoy our ministry. They watch us. They see those things. Yes. He says he himself is judged by no man. So since they are judging you, maybe you are both natural men. Hallelujah. Because he cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. But we have received the Spirit of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. That means these things are spiritual in nature. We are supernatural. God called us to supernatural living. We refuse to be natural because he has called us to supernatural living. Look at verse 16. For who had known the mind of the Lord that he might instruct him? That was a question in the Old Testament. That who can explain him? The word instruct him, that who can explain that he might explain him? But we have the mind of Christ. We have the explanation, the understanding of Christ. It's what we're reading right now. That's why Paul was shocked in chapter 3. Very shocked in chapter 3. Which means that, we're going to see this in a moment. The fact that many are not living in this truth does not invalidate it. We always judge truth by the number of people that are living in it. Let's be realistic now. If you look at it very well. Look at these people. Look at these people. Look at these people. Look at this. And we should be able to, let's get the idea generally now. We should not just be, you know, just talking like that. Let's talk in the air. Let's come to Mother Earth. He says, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto what? Carnal. Even as unto babes in Christ. Now, I want you to listen carefully to this because it's a very important explanation. The words he uses here are figures of speech. Or else, he will be writing a contradiction. He says, I couldn't speak to you as unto. But I had to speak as unto. That is, he had to be careful in his use of words. Because the people he spoke to are spiritual. But he says, as unto babes. Now, the term babes is the word nepios, which means undeveloped. Not yet matured. All these terminologies are figures of speech. He says, as unto carnal. As unto carnal. As unto carnal. They are not carnal. But as unto carnal. Have fed you with milk and not with meat. Either though you were not able to bear, neither are you not able. For you are yet carnal. For where there is among you envy and strife, divisions, are you not carnal and workers men? That's what he says. These men are born of the Spirit. But he says their conduct and their responses does not reflect that. But you know the interesting thing? He doesn't yet fail to affirm who they really are, even though their disposition was contradictory. He says, and you walk, watch this one now, you walk as men. Now, when he says men there, he's referring to the men he mentioned earlier, the natural man. That means there is a distinction in humanity. There is the man who is just a man without the Spirit of God. And there is the man with the Spirit of God. Say, I am not a natural man. I am a spiritual man. Oh, say, I'm not a natural man. I am a spiritual man. Because the truth about you are spiritual in nature. In chapter 1 again, just flip back there, in verse 2, he calls them sanctified in Christ. That means you will see their sanctification in the person of Christ. They are sanctified in Christ. In chapter 3, much later, verse 16, he says, together, you are the temple of God. And the Spirit of God dwells in you. In chapter 3, verse 8, or verse 9. He says, you are God's husbandry. You are God's building. Now, these are not figures of speech. These are realities. They are realities. You are sanctified. You are God's house. You are his building. You are his temple. You are, you are, you are. In chapter 6, he says, you will judge the world. So we are judges. Say we are judges. You were born a judge. The moment you believe the gospel in the spirit, don't forget, these are spiritual realities. You are a judge. You are a judge. You judge things. Say, I judge things. Say, I judge things. Say, I judge things. I judge like God judges. I'm not a natural man. I'm the man born of the Spirit. Oh, say this thing louder. Say, I'm not a natural man. I'm a man born in the Spirit. I'm a spiritual man. I'm a spiritual man. I'm a spiritual man. I'm sanctified. That's what he says. He says, you're a judge. In verse 11, he says, such were some of you, you are washed. Say, I'm washed. He says, you are sanctified. Are these experiences or their spiritual realities? So again, he says, you are justified in the name of the Lord and by the Spirit of our God. In verse 17, he says, he that is joined unto the law, he's one spirit. Even though their behaviors were awkward, their realities never change. That's what he says. In verse 19. He says, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost in you, which you have of God, you are not your own. Say, my body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. He says this thing so often, they must become your identification. Listen to me. If you don't see yourself this way, if you don't see yourself this way, you will never walk in that reality. Don't just say it when you are preaching. Don't just say it because you like to say it at some times. These are not things you say once in a while. These are your realities. I am supernaturally this way. So Paul says, I couldn't speak to you that way. So I had to say things I shouldn't say to you. Because you were not responding in your activities that way. Hallelujah. In your home, are you a spiritual man? In your job, your office, are you a spiritual man? In your endeavors, are you a spiritual man? In this instance, it was even in the church services. Men forget who they are. They start to act their ethnic cultures. They start to act their background.
Where I come from.
Where did you come from?
Where I come from. You know, based on the kind of school I attended, which school did you attend?
Where we came from is the same. We all came from the same place. I said yesterday, if we all walk in the world, our character traits will be the same. Because we are born of God. God doesn't have a variety of children. One is tall, one is short. We are all the same. Heirs of God, sons of God, born of the Spirit, led by the Spirit from the flesh. So watch this. Paul says, I couldn't speak to you. So there are some sermons that you shouldn't be hearing. They are okay. There are some sermons that you shouldn't be hearing. You shouldn't be hearing sermons often about forgive your brother now. When you hear that 2-3 times, you should start getting ashamed. That means that you started acting naturally. There are some sermons you shouldn't hear and think it's nice. Because you are born of God. You are a spiritual man. Say, I'm a spiritual man. I said, see, I'm a spiritual man. So I'm not identified by my culture, my race, my natural family background. I'm not identified by my life out of Christ. I'm identified in Christ. I'm in fellowship with the Father. His thoughts are my thoughts. Brother Copeland said this years ago. He said, because we are one spirit with Jesus, his thoughts flow naturally into us. I love that statement. We are one spirit. So his desires are my desires. That's why when you walk in this fellowship and we talk about prayer, you want to hear it. Someone said this, that what, sir? My prayer life is going down. What can I do about it? They said, pray about it. Kind of like that answer. Hallelujah. Pray about it. And let's get to do it. You can pray. When you hear about prayer, you know, you hear about prayer because God's thoughts, his wants are your wants. You want to pray. You don't drive yourself to pray. You are not scared of prayer. When you hear, let's win souls, you respond to it. Because now what God wants is what you want. Because you are in fellowship with him. You are a spiritual man. Say, I'm a spiritual man. Let your husband or your wife look at you and know that I married a Christian. Hallelujah. Because if you marry the wrong person, the right person, someone say you become prayer partners. If you marry the wrong person, it becomes a prayer point. People have a way of words. Kind of true. Do you get it? Let people, believers are in the same church with you. Let them know that they are with spiritual men. You say, ha, I am finished. Brother, why did you say that? You're asking, I'm finished. Those are not words that come from your spirit. They are words that came from experience. I told you, we can never be hopeless. So when we are talking, we are always positive. We are always, say, I'm always positive. Because the word of God, Peter Way says that the gospel is a positive word. I like that statement. It's a positive word. God's positive. You have to be positive. I'm not saying positive thinking. Say things are going bad. Say it will turn out fine. So why do you say so? Because I said so. No, explain to me. Give me the lowdown. That's the lowdown. It will turn out fine. Hallelujah. At that point, you are walking in your inheritance. You are now walking in what was given to you. So it will turn out fine. Years ago, I went to see a doctor, and then he was analyzing the case for me. They checked the stuff, saying this thing, it takes this. I said, sir, I'll be healed. He said, I'll be back in 2 weeks. He said, no. Young man, hear what I'm saying. I said, no, sir, you need to understand what I am saying. Now, I wasn't arguing with him. I was laying a hold of my realities. You lay a hold on it. You should never get tired of saying the truth. Are you sanctified?
Yes, sir.
Is that the truth?
Yes, sir.
Are you more than a conqueror?
Yes, sir.
Is that the truth?
Yes, sir.
Have you overcome the world?
Yes, sir.
Is that the truth?
Yes, sir.
Are you led by the Spirit?
Yes, sir.
Is that the truth?
Yes, sir.
Is that the truth about you?
Yes, sir.
Are you born of God?
Yes, sir.
Is that the truth?
Yes, sir.
Do you know the things of God? Is that the truth?
Yes,
do you get tired of saying the truth? No. Because it is the truth. Hallelujah. All things are possible unto me. All things are possible unto me. You get tired of saying that? All things are possible unto me. All things are possible unto me. You're not tired of saying that. You say it when things appear to be going wrong. You keep saying it. Because that is the truth. That is the truth. It looks foolish to the natural mind. But to us, that's the wisdom of God. That is the truth. That is the truth. So in 1 Corinthians 13, Paul identifies, you know, we said that it's strange when believers who are born of the Spirit start acting like children. Because there are things that are childish. A child is someone who has not come to be aware. You know, children are usually not aware. At early stage, they could put their toes in their mouth. They could eat everything that they see. They could talk to anybody. They can call even anybody daddy. Papa. They can go after anything. Kids, they don't know what fire is. They just touch the fire. And they get burned and they start crying. And they think you are responsible for it. Kids, sometimes, if they hit their head against a chair... I do that often. I take the chair and I begin to beat the chair. And then they are happy. Why? Because they are not aware. So Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 11. He says, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. Watch that. I talk like a child. So there's a childish way of talking. When you talk carnally, you are being childish. No. You know, I've been in Christianity for a long time. We have grown to see some realities. No, you are being childish. You talk like a child. He said, I thought like a child. The second word there means to judge, to observe. You observe like a child. Then he says, I understood. I reason. I like the last word, understood. There's the word logizomai. I take cognizance of things. I take account of things like a child. anything you are angry, you are childish. Everything gets to you. Any news, your whole day can go bad because of a phone call. You begin to reason naturally. You get to your office, and then you begin to react to everybody like that. You get to church, the same thing. You get to your home, the same thing. You lost a contract that you were bidding for. You had even started seeing visions that you want it. They didn't come. And then you're tired of believing God for supplies. Say, why? That one didn't come now. You are thinking like a child. It's a child that throws tantrums. You are thinking like a child. Paul says, when I became a man, I put away childish things. That means growth is deliberate. You must choose to put away childish things. The word put away is the word katargeo in the Greek, katargeo. It means to abolish it, to make it of no effect. The thoughts can come to you, but they have no effect. Hallelujah. Say, I am spiritual. Now notice where he started. When I was a child, I spoke. A way to understand how you are growing is your words. Your words, your use of words, and the way you think. I like something Pastor Tokes used to say about a kind of fellow like that. He said, it's not just how he thinks that is my problem. It's why he thinks that way. You know, why did you think that way? I know some guys, they've gotten so carnal that when you say, but the Bible says, they just shut out. I've heard you. He has become so childish. He's not responding to stimuli. Okay. But we are men of the Spirit. It says your words. Your words. Your words. Because these truths must be in your speech. Hear this. The word of God is meant to change your vocabulary. The word of God, the realities of the word are meant to change your vocabulary. How do you talk? How do you talk to others? How do you talk about yourself? How do you talk to yourself? Remember that you're a spiritual man. So what you say need not be naturally wise, but is spiritually intelligent. You know, there's some folks, they are naturally intelligent, but they are spiritually dull. Dull. Spiritually dull. Why? Because they've given themselves so much to natural intelligence that spiritually they are dull. Like we said yesterday, you shut out your spiritual intelligence. So folks are like that. You amass a lot of knowledge. You read many things, but nothing about yourself. Many things. You want to learn how to be a good husband? You go and read GQ, all these magazines, A Good Wife, how to raise your kids. You want to learn about life, how to act and react. You go and read newspapers, all those columns. Question and answer is anti-busy. And your life now begins to reflect those things. You are childish. And those things, they make you so alert. You take your Bible and you are struggling You are seeing your Bible and the old pages are white. Some of you, you came to this camp meeting with buckets of chewing gum. They're not praying in tongues, though. In 1 hour, 20 gum. 20. But when you went to watch Wakanda, after the movie, as you finish watching the movie, I saw Christians. In fact, a church did a program on that. Immediately, many people saw the movie. Their Facebook status changed. I didn't see the same people put down what they heard in church on their Facebook status. Childish. Which one is your own and Wakanda? Is there Wakanda in your Bible? It's just entertainment. Entertainment. Like you watch football. Entertainment. That's what it is. You see, Anthony Joshua. He won. I like Anthony Joshua. He's an Ijebu man. He won yesterday. You not change your status. I'm AJ for life. Are you well? No. Forget entertainment. Let your words reflect your own realities. Don't get carried away with trends. We are not trending. We are eternal things. Eternal principles. Eternal persons. We don't follow trends. We were purchased by God. We were in His mind before the foundation of the world. We are above trends. We are above what is in vogue. When what is in vogue has become expired, another one has come, will still remain the same. Remember, Reverend Sandra Bradra said years ago, a friend of mine, she said, and I love that illustration. She said, you know what? Cars have, the manufacturer changed their models every year to satisfy human desires. 2014 model, 2015 model. In fact, if you drive a 2018 model, by next year, the 2019 model, all the same car, they may just change the brake, repackage the whole thing for you, and put some nice seats, and say, this car can fly, you know, and you buy. And year after year, remember when we were younger, we had Santana. Santana was like, wow. And 505 Evolution. When you see those cars, say, and Shagari style. Those cars today, if you take it to propose to a woman, and you take it to her house, the parents will ask you, do you work in a museum? Where you keep old things. You know, so people change and change. Then she said, the gospel never changes. The truth about who we are never changes. So she said this. So God modeled us for every season. Things will come and go, but we are going nowhere. This reality is about us, are eternal in nature. I'm who He says I am. I have what He says I have. I can do what He says I can do. Hallelujah. So our speech, which you said yesterday, our confession. Christianity is high and strong on confession. Because the very gospel you preach, listen to me now, those who don't, your preaching of the gospel is confession. Your songs are confessions. Your prayers are confessions. They are acknowledgments of the truth that we have found in Christ. Hallelujah. We looked at that yesterday. Homologia. Which is to say, to acknowledge. Look at Matthew 7. Jesus was known in his words. In his words. You know, there is no word of Jesus today that we cannot rely upon. You know, we read his words and they are evergreen. There's nothing we read about Joseph in the slip of tongue. No. They were precise words. Predetermined words. Words he wanted to say. In Matthew 7. After they heard him speak. In verse 28. When he had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. Watch this. For he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes. There was something in his words that carried authority. In fact, at the point they said, nobody talked like him. Nobody. Nobody did. He talked in an uncommon fashion. Because when you have that kind of origin, your words must be that original. Your words. Your words. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He affirmed the Father in his words. He affirmed his mission in his words. He affirmed his purpose in his words. He affirmed what he will do in his words. He also affirmed what he would not do in his words. Your words come before your actions. He affirmed who the Father was in his words. He affirmed his mission with his words. He affirmed what he will do, his purpose with his words. He affirmed what he will not do with his words. He affirmed what will happen to him with his words. And he affirmed what will never happen to him in his words. Jesus walked with his words. You could look at his words and see perfection. Peter said there was no guile found in his mouth. There was no fault. But hear this now. This is very vital. Not one. He didn't speak evil to anybody. Peter said that. He spoke words. Do you know what he was accused of? He wasn't accused of healing the sick. Jesus was accused for his words. What he said. What he said that he was the Son of God. That's why they took him. That God was his Father. And by what he said, and what they did, he accomplished his mission. Your words send the landmarks of your life. You must learn to match your words with your realities. Many of us need constant word training, myself inclusive, all believers. Constant word training. Retraining. Such that your words and your realities are identical. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Spiritual realities. Work with words. Because words transport, transmit spiritual realities. How did you receive the gospel? How? Everything God did in Christ in 3 days and three nights and in eternity, he put in words. He said, go into all the world and show them pictures. He said, go into all the world. He said, go into all the world and preach. So everything that God does or did are in words transported. Words carry events. Words carry hope. Words carry eternity. Words carry the past. Words carry the present. Words carry the future. Words carry persons. Words carry activities. Words carry power. Words carry healing. Words carry righteousness. Words carry sanctification. Words carry protection. Words carry visions. Words carry heaven. Hallelujah. In Mark 11, Jesus said, he shall have whatsoever he says. Praise the Lord. So our spiritual realities includes the words that we speak. Our words carry them. Very often, when I see my thoughts are wandering, I'm wandering, I begin to see myself living sin or acting immorality, I retrace my step with my words. I'm what he says I am. I am not a fornicator. No, I'm not an immoral person. I'm not a liar. No, I'm not like that. I am a person of truth. I live in self-control. My body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. I've been washed, I've been justified, I've been sanctified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. What am I doing? I'm putting my realities in words. God put his own realities in words. Put them in words. You must be strong on your confession. E.W. Kenyon says, confession. He is the railroad that faith carries its mighty cargo. That is, confession is how faith works. Christianity works with words. Romans 10:8, what said it? The word is nigh thee, in your heart is your mouth. That is the word of faith that we preach. Watch that. The word of faith that we preach. In your heart, in your mouth. The word that we preach. If you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. With the heart, he says, man believes unto righteousness. With the mouth, he says, confession is made unto salvation. An eternal impact was made with words. My heart and my words. I never say I'm hopeless. I never say I'm defeated. I never say there's nothing I can do. I never say I'm helpless. I never say it can't be possible. I put my realities in my words. I put my realities in my words. I am sanctified. I'm justified. You know, that's who I am, whether I say it or not. But I want my experience to be identical with my realities. So I make them the same. By my words. Are you there? You must learn to speak. In persecution, Jesus said in Matthew 10:32, he that confesses me before men, that is, I affirm, I acknowledge. John 1:20 said, I confess to you that I am the Christ. So I say who Christ is to me. I say the things that are not true about me. John 1:20. I must learn to speak. I mustn't just speak the word when I'm preaching. No, even though preaching is also called the great confession. 1 Timothy 6:12. That profession that you profess before many witnesses, Christ also did. I must ensure that the truth are not just sermons. They are in my words. It's a confession. In 1 John 1:9, it says, we confess that our sins are iniquities. He has forgiven us, he's faithful to do it, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So I say it. I affirm those realities. I do. In Hebrews 13:15, it says, therefore, by him, let us offer the sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of our lips. That means there's activity to Christianity. Confessing his name. In the book of Acts, the early church was called the confession. The confession. What they were saying. In fact, at a point, years ago, the organized church put together what they called the creed. Things that believers must always affirm. I believe in God the Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. They call it a creed. Something everybody said together. That means our words should be identical. Our words should be identical. I believe I cannot be oppressed. I can't be dominated by this life. No circumstance dictates my mood or my emotions. Hallelujah. I'm led by the Spirit of God. I'm alive in the Spirit. I walk in the Spirit. Train your words. Train it. Supernatural living starts with supernatural speaking. Supernatural living starts with supernatural speaking. I must learn in the face of trials to speak the word. John also said the same thing in 1 John 2. We saw that yesterday, 23. To acknowledge the Son and acknowledge the Father. Those are active things. You acknowledge it. 1 John 4:15, the same thing. Why did they write those things? They wrote words so that they can be your own words. The words found in Christ have become our confession. The words of things, events found in Christ, they have become our confession. Say, the word is my confession. The word is my reality. I'm not giving to anger. No, I'm not giving to anger. I'm giving to self-control. I'm gentle. I'm patient. I don't revenge. That's who I am. That's who I am. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the moment there is a pressure, a temptation, when Satan tempted Jesus, Jesus was not thinking it. You don't resist temptation with thoughts. You don't. Say, The more you stay on it. Because don't forget, the temptation came with words. The more you thought of it. Then you see a picture in your mind of yourself committing that act or doing that stuff or falling into sickness. You say, no, I'm who he says I am. I'm who he says I am. I'm born in the Spirit. I've crucified the flesh, the lust and the affections thereof. I've modified the deeds of the body. I'm alive in the Spirit. As you say that, you destroy the temptation. Jesus responded words with words. Even though it was very likely that those tempts came to him in his thoughts. And he responded with words. He said. He always said who he was. Your words channel your life. You gravitate towards the things you have said. You said you couldn't and you couldn't. Years ago, we had this group of friends who were walking in the ministry. I'm not saying this to mock them. But then they used to say, well, we don't know what will happen. God will hold us to the end. We hope we will not backslide. I told them I would never backslide. I said, I can never fall. I said, I can never fall. They thought I was bragging. But I was speaking the word. So one day, they held a prayer meeting for me. And they were praying. And I found out the prayer meeting. In one room like that. So I left the living room, went to them. And they were praying, Lord, touch his heart. Touch his heart. Be pride in his heart. I said, you are wasting your time. I was a very rascally fellow. I said, you are wasting your time. Like I said earlier, I can never fall. I said that to chart the course of my life. Hallelujah. I said that. I can never fall. I can never falter. I will grow in his light. I'll get better by the day. I will walk in his wisdom. What he has committed to my trust, it will never fall. Nothing dies in my hand. I fulfill my course with joy. Hallelujah. That's how Paul spoke. You think he was bragging? No. If he was bragging, he was bragging on God. Say, I brag on God. I brag on his power. My words are not usual words. They're extraordinary words. They're supernatural words. They're supernatural words. People should marry wives like Gloria Copeland, who told the husband,
Guy says, I'm just sick and I don't want. And he laid hands on the husband. Satan, leave him alone! So I found out the devil came around you. Not, sorry, darling. Don't leave me and the children. No. I don't want to be a widow. Don't say that. Speak the word. Even if before you've had a bad experience. Hallelujah. Don't speak that one. Speak the one that will happen. Nothing dies in my hand. I make progress by the power of God. Hallelujah. I'm strong. I'm healthy. I fulfill my cosmic joy. Hallelujah. Are you there? Have friends that will tell you, what's wrong with you? Say, this park is paining me. Emoji, speak the word. Emoji, speak the word. Say, I know what you are saying. Emoji, speak the word. Hallelujah. And what the word says I am. I'm who the word says I am. I have what the word says I have. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Whatever bad experience you've had before, they are never to be found in your confession. Did you hear me? Because you want them to be changed. If you want them to be changed, you don't keep repeating them. Speak the word of God. Speak your realities. Are you following this? In the midst of tests and trials, look at Acts 26. Here's Paul in persecution. Acts 26. In persecution. And don't let other people's experiences be found in your confession. Your own bad experiences are not to be found. The word of God should be what you say. Acts 26, are you there? Look at verse 2. Verse 1. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself. I like this. I think myself happy. You know, that will drive you crazy. A man is being called to be judged by you. He's on a person, say, I think myself happy. If I say I'm a happy man, one says, I congratulate myself. Paul knew these things and he acted on them. That's why you will not find his mistakes in his letters. What are they for? Hallelujah. How you could know he grew. You found his realities. Our realities. In the things he wrote. I'm who he says I am. I have what he says I have. I can do what he says I can do. Hallelujah. So you need to train your words. Hebrews chapter 13, I'm closing here. Train your words. Train what you say. Retrain your words. Don't get loose. Don't let your speech be loose. Just speak. Anyhow. If you are not going to speak the word, keep quiet. Wait till you are ready to speak the word. Hebrews 13 and verse 5. Are you there? Glory to God. I said glory to God. I said glory to God. I said glory to God. So Christ's work should be found in your confession. Not people's experiences, not the things that you yourself have experienced. Speak the word. Hebrews 13 and verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he has said. You believe that? I'll never leave you, nor forsake you. I love this. He said, so that you may boldly say. You know, if he has said, so that you may say, that's good. He says, boldly. And the writer of Hebrews had used a similar word for boldly until now. He changed the word. And the word here is the word thareo. T-H-A-R-R-E-O. It means to be courageous. A Greek scholar says it's an active performance. That is,
you would display your courage in your words. I will boldly say it. I will not fear. That means I say I will not fear. So what a man would do unto me, I will not fear. Hallelujah. I will not fear. I will boldly say. So God's word should not be whispered. It's not for whispers. It's not for sighing. God's word is for a bold confession. Not for a sighing. I'm born of God. Oh, I am the righteousness of God. Greater is he that's in me now than he. You say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. The healing power is working in me. Direction is working in me. The wisdom of God is working in me. I'm who he says I am. I have what he says I have. I can do what he says I can do. My needs are met. My bills are paid. God supplies all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I walk in his supply. In the name of Jesus, I am never hopeless. I'm full of hope. I am positive about my life. I'm not negative. I'm positive. Possibilities. I am on my path. They are on my path. I walk in possibilities. I'm who he says I am. I have what he says I have. I can do what he says I can do. I am fearless. I am courageous. I'm without a fear. I'm without a doubt. I walk in the world. I've got the victory. Glory to God. Lift your hands and thank the Father this morning.